Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
The passage that Brother Larry just read to us, and that is the woman called blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Now, I know that at times people may wonder, should we be taking the time in the Lord's service, the time in which we worship God, to honor mothers? And when you and I think about that, God wants us to honor the things that He honors. And in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, as our Lord hang there upon the cross, He looked down and He saw His mother. And He saw the disciple whom He loved, which was the Apostle John. And He said, "Behold your son." And then He turned to John and He said, "Behold your mother." Jesus saw that His mother was honored and respected and revered while He was here upon this earth. In fact, in Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus confronted the Pharisees, He confronted them because they had failed to respect God's law of honoring father and mother. And He said, "You have made the void the word of God because of your traditions." So it is right for us to honor the things that God honors. And we want to talk about the woman called blessed. The Bible teaches of the great importance of honoring our mothers. There is a proverb that is used. It's not a biblical proverb, but it's one which is also very true. And that is, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." We need to understand and appreciate God's plan for the mother. And we need to understand how great mothers are within God's plan and how He accomplishes that. And I would like for us to take a few moments to think about what the mother does and for us to respect that. Mothers are, by way of introduction, a source of compassion. Mothers look at their children and they look upon them with love, with devotion. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, there Isaiah speaks, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Isaiah records God saying that a mother has compassion on the child that she has born. Every one of you mothers here this morning, know that you look down with your love, your devotion toward your children. As we go further in the book of Isaiah to chapter 66 and verse 13, there's a picture there given, and Jerusalem is described as the child. And God speaks by saying, "Then you shall feed on her sides, you shall be carried, and be dandled on her knees, as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Most of us can think back when we were children. And you think back at a time when you needed comfort. Maybe you fell and skint your knee. Maybe you were the one who was just devoted to that little boy that you thought that you loved, or maybe that little girl that you thought you loved. And you sought comfort and compassion, and you always sought it by your mother's side. As you go further, the mother is also a great teacher. The mother is able to impart wisdom and knowledge which those of us who are men often are unable to do. In Proverbs 31, this great passage, verses 10 through 31, as he describes a virtuous woman who can find for her price as far above rubies, and is that great woman is described in detail, King Lemuel, and if it be Solomon, here's what he says. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Isn't it a great thing when a mother is able to impart to her son what it means to respect and honor a gracious woman? And certainly that's the kind of person that deserves this honor and respect. I didn't know if I should include this one or not, but mothers are also to be discipliners. That is, they're to mete out along with the fathers the kind of discipline that God expects to be carried out. Sometimes it is extremely severe. In the book of Zechariah 13 and verse 3, he says, "It shall come to pass, if anyone still prophesies," he's talking about a false prophecy, "then his father and his mother who begot him shall say to him, 'You shall not live because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord.' And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies." You see, they're the ones to exact the discipline. So you look at your mothers and you realize all the great things they do. And because of that, God says we owe them some things. Number one, we owe them our obedience. In Genesis 28, we read in verse 7, "And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram." He was an obedient son. You and I need to be obedient to our mothers and our fathers. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 reads, "There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." You see, along with Proverbs 31 and verse 28, we have here Proverbs 30 and verse 11 with the emphasis on us as children calling our mothers blessed. We are to honor our mothers and our fathers. In Exodus 20 and verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Give them honor. Give them respect. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3 says we are to fear them in the sense of that respect. "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." The word revere, to fear, to respect, to honor, means to look at them with that devotion that says, "I respect you. I honor you. I fear you." And then we are to mourn over those whom we have lost. I realize that in preparing this lesson that a number of you sitting here this morning will say, "I would love to be able to call my mother this morning and say, I honor you. I love you. I appreciate you." But you can't do that, because they've already passed from this life. You can still rise up and call them blessed for what they have done. But in the book of Psalms 35, verse 14, "I paced about as though he were my friend or my brother. I bowed down heavenly as one who mourns for his mother." There's something about a mother that brings about a tremendous amount of respect and devotion. And when they're gone, we will really miss them. As such, the Bible teaches there are things that we must not do. For instance, one must not strike his mother. Exodus 21:15, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Children need to understand that God expects mothers to be respected. You don't hit them back. We're never to rob our parents. In Proverbs 28, verse 24, "Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." Children sometimes don't understand they're not to steal from mother and daddy. In Proverbs 19 and verse 26, there is a passage that discusses chasing away one's mother. And you have to understand that in their culture, in their day, they were to respect their parents. They were to take care of their mother and their father. They were to see that their needs were supplied. And when you go to this passage, Solomon says, "And he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach." The idea is that one may say, "I don't want to take care of my mother," and cast her out as if he no longer says, "I have any responsibility toward you." And then finally, causes shame toward her. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." If a child does not do what he should, then the mother suffers the shame for that. And then to show contempt for, Deuteronomy 27:16, "Cursed is one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say amen." You see, under the Old Testament system, God expected that children look up and never be contemptuous toward their mother and their father. Now, with all of that in our background, I'd like now to study 3 points with you. They're not going to be long, but they're going to be focused, if you will, on great mothers of the Old Testament. I just want to choose a couple or so. And I want us to talk about some great mothers of the New Testament. Just to choose 2 or 3. And then I'd like for us to talk about there are great mothers today. In fact, I believe that some of you ladies sitting here in the pews this morning are some great mothers. And the reason why I believe you are is because you embody some of the great characteristics that are found of great mothers in the Old Testament and great mothers in the New. Let's look first of all at the Old Testament, some of them that stand out. And first of all, I want us to go to Numbers 26 and verse 59 and read about a woman by the name of Jochebed. We don't pronounce her name much today. We don't talk about her much. But she was the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And to Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. You say, "Well, what's so special about her as a woman? What makes her stand out?" Well, the writer of the book of Hebrews said in Hebrews 11 and verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents." Now why? "Because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Let me tell you what kind of woman Jochebed was. She knew what the law said. The law said that all these children must die. And here is baby Moses. She hides him so that he will not be killed. She's not afraid of the king's commandment. She is a woman who respects God more than she respects the commandments of men. That's a good mother who says, "I will protect my children regardless of what others may say or do." But the thing that I guess stands out the most is what she did for Moses. Here's this little child, and she is responsible for nursing and bringing him along. And she instills within him the values, the faith, the respect for God. So that the text in Hebrews chapter 11 goes on to say, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Why? "Because he accounted the riches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt." His mother had instilled within him those great values and faith. Number two, let's talk about Hannah, the mother of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20 we read, "So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son. and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Samuel's mother. Now, to understand this great woman, you have to back up to verses 10 and 11 of that passage. And understand that she was a barren woman. She had no children. She wanted a child so badly. And listen to what she says and promises. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made a vow and said, O Lord, the God of hosts, if indeed you will look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life and no razor shall come upon his head. She said, Lord, if you will just give me a child, I will give the child back to you. And she did. Even from a little boy, Samuel served before the Lord. And she prepared him to serve God. She understood, I've got to take this little boy and I've got to be able to instill within him the service of God. And what's so neat in this, in her life, is the fact that she continued to provide him the encouragement year by year. Notice chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. I can just visualize in my mind, here's Samuel. Samuel's a little boy. And every year as she came up to worship, she made him a robe. She wanted him to appear before the Lord in the very best. And some of you mothers have that same idea. For just a moment, let's talk about some New Testament mothers. Let's talk about Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 60, we have Luke's account of what occurred. Zacharias had seen the angel and had been told that his name would be called John. And Elizabeth is here and John is going to be born. It says it came. Now Elizabeth's full time came to her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When the neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. John the Baptist. Because that was the name that God had chosen for him. Why was Elizabeth given this great privilege? If you go back to chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, you read, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. You've got a very good woman here. And God blesses her with John the Baptist. And according to chapter 1, verse 43, even before Jesus is born, while Jesus is still in the womb of Mary, here's what she says, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Here's a baby that's not even born yet. And she looks not just at Mary, but at the child to be born and said, that's my Lord. Now let's talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, for just a second. In Luke 1 and verse 28, we read, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Highly favored. Now, some of you ladies have recently had little ones. Can you imagine if the Lord honored you with saying, you will have the child who will be the Savior of the world? You will give birth to the Son of God? Truly, this woman is highly favored above all women. And yet, she was not a woman who said, well, I deserve that. No, in fact, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The word maidservant's important. It's a person who was a slave, who waited on someone else. She said, let me just be the servant. Her attitude was exhibited in John 2 and verse 5 all through her life. And her mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. That's the kind of respect she had. And though she was his mother, she still was a disciple of the Lord. In Acts 1:14, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. One more, and then we'll try to tie this together. Mary the mother of John Mark. Not much is known about Mary in the Bible. We're not told a tremendous amount of things, but here's what we do know. We do know that John Mark was her son. We know that John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. We do know that John Mark went with Barnabas on his second missionary journey. And we do know that later on in life, Paul would say, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Somewhere along the line, someone trained Mark, John Mark, to be this young man useful for ministering before the Lord. I think I know where he got that. Because when we go to Acts 12 and verse 12, there's a large group assembled here, it says, and so when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You see, her house was open to a large audience of people. A number of Christians gathered there to pray. To pray. Then there's Eunice and Lois, the mother and grandmother of Timothy. Paul remembered the unfeigned faith or the genuine faith that dwelt in them. And then he believed was also in Timothy. From the time Timothy was a child, they had taught him the sacred writings, the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. But now, are there great mothers today? Sure there are. You know, it'd be very easy for us to read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31 and think, that woman did so much, there's no way I can live up to her great example. Or you can read about women like Jochebed and Hannah. You can read about women like Elizabeth and Mary and Eunice and Lois and think, these women are so talented and so capable, I can't ever live up to that. Yes, you can. In fact, many of you do. Because you look at your children as a blessing from God. In Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You look at that child as, this is a blessing from God. You also are instilling within your children great values and great faith. In other words, you're teaching your children, be honest. Tell the truth. Treat your fellow man right. You're teaching your children, love the Lord, love the church. I dare say that some of you are here this morning because your mother said, will you go to church with me today? Your mothers loved you enough to try to instill those good values within you. There are still great mothers today. And great mothers will be the proper example for their children to follow. Their children can look up and say, if I could just be as good as my mother and live the life that my mother has lived, then I'll make it all right. You see, there are some great mothers today because they're following the patterns set forth in Scripture. God knew that man needed so many things. God knew that man needed fathers to give them a little toughness, a little firmness. And God knew that man needs kindness and compassion, and hence He gave us our mothers. God wants mothers to teach their children to become Christians. To those of you who are parents of little children, instill from the time they're small the importance of being a Christian. I've mentioned several times, I cannot remember when I first learned what it means to become a Christian. I think I've known it all my life. Because I had parents and grandparents who saw that that was instilled within me. And I'm thankful for that. And those of you who are parents, you need to do that as well. Will you this morning become all that God wants you to be? God wants you to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. That all men will be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants you to repent of your sins. 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God wants you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. When those people cried out on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's response was to repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It's very possible that you've done that. But you look at your life and you see the failures there. And you realize, I've not been what God wants me to be. And I've not lived how God wants me to live. And I want to spend eternity with God in heaven. And I'm going to come back home. And I want to be restored.